everyone, and welcome to the Dog Show Drive with Wayne and Will. I'm Wayne Cavanaugh, and you're not.
And no, I'm not. I'm Will Alexander, just in case that was relevant. How are you, Wayne?
Well, I'm all right. I'm thrilled that you're all not me today, because everything's gone wrong, Will. It's just one of those days.
Oh, no.
But you know what that means, Will? Tomorrow, nothing but sunshine, buddy.
Exactly.
Nothing but sunshine. Yep. It's all going to be beautiful today. Just silly things. Silly things.
And they all add up, though. So
they do. Waking up, a brand new car. When I say brand new, it's a 2022. It has 600 miles on it. The windshield shattered. You can't make this up. I took it to the auto glass place. We were up in Grand Haven at the beach. It was beautiful. And I said, how could this have happened? We weren't driving the car and, you know, a stone came back up. It just happened. And we woke up, there it was. And he said, from the angle of trajectory and the little crumbs that were in there, he believed a seagull dropped a shell that broke my windshield.
Wow.
So Jonathan Livingston Seagull, is that
him? Yeah, that was him.
I have no respect anymore. I'm over you, Jonathan. Right. It's done.
He bombed you. A seagull shell.
That's right. You're just a beach rat with wings. That's what you are.
Yeah, exactly. Yeah.
Anyway.
What do they call them? Out west, they have they call them shithawks or something like that. I don't know.
But you know, the funny, well, not funny part is, this hadn't happened to me in a long time. So you call can they get the glass? Well, you know, it's a 2022, which is different because it has the different facial recognition sensors and the cameras built into the white. I just want the glass. No.
No.
Does it work that way anymore, Mr. 1972? It doesn't work that way anymore. So they have to have it. The windshield has to be calibrated after it's installed. Calibrated, I tell you, Will. The world's passed me by.
Yeah. Technology peaked with frozen pizza.
You're right. So no one wants to be me today. How you doing, Will?
I'm good. I'm really good.
You look wonderful.
Oh, gee, so do you, Wayne.
You look like $1 million. If anyone could see you now,
I know.
Marked down from $1.5 million. That's what you look like, bro. $1 million marked down from $1.5 million.
Oh, I appreciate that. You know, I work hard at this.
I know.
It's not easy. It's not just a natural thing. It's something I have to put effort into.
That's right. Oh, beautiful. Anyway.
So you were away on the weekend.
I was away. You know, I do these things, and I know it sounds crazy to you dog show folks. You know, some of us dog show folks do these crazy things, and we don't go to a dog show. I know. And we go away for a week, and we don't even think about it that often anyway. Mm-hmm. And we try not to answer phone calls from our dog show brethren.
I know. I tried and tried and tried. Just kept getting the machine, you know.
Yeah, that's all you get. We were up in that's beautiful RV resort up north of here. For a whole week, and the kids came up with, oh, this is actually kind of fun. Our daughter and her son, our daughter and her son-in-law, Jesus, this can be a long interview. Our daughter and her husband, who is my son-in-law, who likes bad dad jokes, Ben, wonderful Ben, they brought the baby up. That would be our granddaughter, Tatum, and she's 10 months old, just turned 10 months old. So they came and stayed with us for a couple of days in the motorhome. And we really had a great time. It was really fun and made it a whole different, like, it's the real world, you know?
Yeah.
It's the real world. But the dogs couldn't come because Killian, you know, it's a really big motorhome, but he doesn't fit well.
Yeah, it's not big enough.
He's, you know, and we're going to pull a horse trailer with him, but that looks embarrassing. So, he didn't fit.
Poor guy. So he had to go to the Camp Fido. Is that what it's up there?
Camp Critter Country. Camp Fido during the day, Camp Critter Country. 45-minute drive to the kennel, 45 back.
Wow.
Amazing boarding kennel. And by the way, they can really do the best nails. They do nails better than, well, not you, of course, but better than most.
I hate doing nails.
You know, Faith, there's the grinder. Tell me when you're done.
Exactly.
Anyway. So, yeah, it was, you know, but it's the minute I get home, we're back. I've got an article due and back to the dog world. And it's a good place to be. I sure like it here. Well, and you went to some shows.
No, I ended up going to some shows, but I did transports all week. I was Friday. I went to Cleveland, dropped off some, took some dogs, dropped off some, brought some dogs back. Saturday, that was Friday. Saturday, I went to actually Marshall, Michigan, to drop a dog off to somebody at the show. And I as I got there, as luck would have it, English setters were just going in the ring.
Oh, perfect.
And so Laura was there with the Samoyed. And so she was just there. So she had nothing to do. So she sat and watched English setters with me. And then as we were walking back, as luck would have it again, beagles started. So I stopped. I watched English setters and beagles. And then I said goodbye to everyone and went home. So
you took my luck. That's what happened. Luck of the Irish can't be, we have to shift it back and forth.
Oh, geez.
I had the windshield. You had the beagles and English setters. It doesn't get any better than that.
Yeah, exactly.
And I'm then willing to share that, Will.
What's that?
I'm more than willing to give you that.
Yeah,
you can have any time.
It was fortuitous, I suppose. But it was fun.
The nice part is English setters are so good right now all over the country that you're going to run into a couple of nice ones no matter where you go.
Oh, yeah. There were like four or five specials, and they were all, not throwaways. And it was fun to watch. And then beagles. There wasn't a lot, but beagles are beagles. You know, it's fun to watch beagles.
So, yeah.
And then I headed home, and I did a trip to North Carolina, and I stopped in Virginia on the way back and got home yesterday. So I had 4 days on the road, really. So,
jeez, that's a lot of driving, but that's what you do.
And it gives me time to think, though.
Well, I used to take the train to work and back in New York City before I realized that wasn't necessary. you could have a job that wasn't torturous to get to and get back from. But during those times, it was great. It was an hour and a half each way to just sit and think, And
For sure.
I do like that. I like that time.
I come up with some of my best ideas anyway. But the problem is trying to jot them down while you're driving.
So. Yeah. Well, you try the voice recorder thing on your phone.
Yeah, I try that. I never get it right. I lose the message. And so what I end up doing is sometimes I call somebody and say, remember this for me. And then I hang up on them.
Well, you know what I do a lot? I text myself.
Oh, do you? You're not supposed to text and drive either, though.
So. No, voice thing. I go, hey, Siri.
Oh yeah.
That's Wayne Kavanaugh. Yeah. Tell him, not to do anything stupid. And that's I need that reminder every day.
Well, I should talk to Siri then. And she is everywhere, that Siri.
She is. She is. I'm getting, I'm kind of getting, I think I might have a little crush on her. Well, she knows all the answers.
Yeah.
And she knows when you cross the line, she'll tell you it's not appropriate. And
that's true. She does.
Because you've seen those. If you get mad and, curse at her, she lets you know that's not going to get you where you want to go. So it's
no, she's a good one. I try not to call her Alexa because then she gets upset with me. But
yeah,
her name is Siri.
Maybe I had a friend whose daughter's Alexa. It's just whenever she comes over, it's an issue. But seriously, they've programmed their home units to not be Alexa. You can change Alexa's name. If you have a kid named Alexa, it's a really, it becomes essential. So, and there is a scene and series of woman's name that pops up. I don't know if you can change that. Anyway, the dog show drive, damn it. I want to talk to you about, first of all, you're way better at this, Will, because you're closer, you knew him longer than I did. Although I think I knew him forever, but, boy, did we lose a great one.
Oh, we sure did. Yeah. We lost Luke Ballou on, was it Saturday we lost him?
I think so.
I think it was Saturday, yeah. That was a tough one. He was up here in Canada. He was iconic down there as well.
Oh, absolutely.
But he had a lot of old stories. And whenever I saw him at dog shows, we talked about Canada. He was just... I used to see him at the Royal Winter Fair with his horses. So we'd go there and it was a tough one. And I'm going to miss his stories. And I don't know if a lot, but he was born in Canada. He was born in Montreal, actually. And as one of his very best friends up here was a handler named Harold Butler. And last time I was speaking to Linda Torrance today about it. And the last time Luke was up here, he had lunch with Harold and Bill Taylor. And that's what, and Bill's been gone now for a few years. So that was a while ago. He was telling me a story, though. Or Linda was telling me the story. And Harold, Bill, Luke came to visit the dog show. That was back when Carol Hollins was still showing dogs up here. And he came to the Montreal dog show. And Luke being Luke, he didn't, you know, there were no boundaries.
Never, never.
So he sees Carol. Carol, he called her Sissy. And he sees Sissy in the ring. He just marched right in the ring. The steward's trying to stop him. And then he said something derogatory to the steward about brushing her hair or washing her face that I can't get into. But he just carried on to see Sissy.
You know, the thing about Luke that always amazed me is he could be so serious and he's so smart.
Oh, my God,
and yeah. Talk dogs all day. But he could also be the funniest man I've ever met in my life. And, you know, you probably heard the story, but, and I can't quite remember when he told me and he told Cheryl and I thought Cheryl was going to, she just couldn't stop laughing, but I can't remember if it was the house next to their farm or the farm. Maybe Ed wanted to sell it. I don't really remember, but I knew that he didn't want someone to buy either their farm or the place next to it. And there was a long driveway, and they were, he had gardens on the fence going along. So whenever anyone came to look, he'd go out and garden with his big hat, you know, his big floppy sun hat. And that's it, Will. Just the hat and a rake. That's it. No clothes. And he'd wave, hello, and make sure that they
make sure they see him out there. This crazy naked guy.
But what a lovely guy too, and oh, so yeah. Passionate about his dogs. And I mean, as a little kid, you know, I remember the beagles that he
oh,
had.
Oh, for sure.
Of course, they were some, and they were. I love the red and whites. And they had a lot of them, you know.
Yeah.
That's that
and
good one.
Ed
real
seemed
one.
To really like red and whites.
Yeah, yeah, really yeah, good.
Up here, he showed a lot. He showed Audrey Bembo's borzois that he was very famous.
Oh yeah, yeah.
And he
yeah.
showed Bill Scarpa's boxers, and he showed Pekingese for Bill and Nigel.
Oh, did he ever?
Also.
Yeah.
He was something else. He really was.
I went to a seminar. Maybe the coolest things I ever saw. It was Pekingese, and he brought it was Crown Prince. Is that what the dog's name?
Wendy's is Crown Prince. Yeah.
Shaved down to the seminar, and you want to see a sound structure. I mean, balance. You want to see just. Everything about this dog, it was almost a shame they had to show him with hair because he was built so perfectly well. And God, it was brilliant. It was a moment I'll never forget, you know, I mean, just really cool. And I think, and there was another one or two famous ones that came shaved that day too. Pretty interesting.
I remember him telling me a story after Willem the Conqueror went back to show the garden.
Yeah.
Ruthie owned him.
Not you, the other. Not with a beagle in 2015. The other William. The dog named William the Conqueror.
Willem.
Actual William the Conqueror. That wasn't, was it? I guess that was with Miss P in 2015, wasn't it?
I think you're right. Maybe we better ask our friend Doug and Blake.
Maybe we better.
Anyway. Willem the Conqueror.
No, we mention that every week just because Doug likes to hear it.
Now it's just for him. So, yeah, anyway, Willem the Conqueror, the only ribbon she wanted from his whole career apparently was the Best in Show ribbon from the garden. Mm-hmm. And she took it home with her and she put it, she had it on the kitchen table, Luke told me. And she had Cavaliers and a bunch of stuff there. And they went out to the garden, came back in, and the Cavaliers had ripped it to shreds.
Oh, no. Wow.
He said the ribbon was all over the kitchen, William.
Isn't that something? Well, I hope they got a replacement. But
oh, I'm sure they did. Yeah. He sent me, and I'm not rubbing this in, he's after the garden, the P1, he sent me the nicest letter, and just telling me how proud he was, and it was nice to see us win that. And it was so funny, though, because I didn't get it till the next year. We were on the bus going back to the hotel, and we were sitting there talking. He said, "Oh, by the way, I have this for you." It was all folded up in his pocket.
Even better.
He's been carrying it around for a year.
That makes it even better. Oh, that's classic, Luke. That is absolutely classic.
I meant to mail this to you, but here's in my pocket.
You know, the thing that when you think of those people, you know, I just was listening to a podcast on Mom. It's heady stuff, but it's about the social psychology differences between different nations and how we see things.
Well, they're talking about that too.
Were you? It's a great podcast.
No.
Freakonomics.
And I was listening to it.
Anyway,
I was listening to Jim Carrey.
And they were talking about how, you know, uptight countries and looser countries, and then subcultures within them, and how that can be effective, and how that can affect our behavior and our life. And the sport always had way more character. It has characters now, but nothing like it used to, because you're not allowed to do anything like that anymore.
I know.
And it's just everybody's trying to be forced in to these little robot roles. And without your personality and your self and your expression, the sport loses so much flavor. And there's constant rules. And
well, did you see the new rule?
I did.
It was quite the uproar on Facebook today. I went through it. I actually questioned the gentleman that was going on about it. You know, I'll AKC rules and guidelines for confirmation judges, blah, blah, blah. Do not promote or denigrate dogs you have judged or may judge in the future. This includes commenting on the publication of win photos of dogs you judged or may judge through personal social media accounts. Then it goes on to say, when you have completed all assignments for a show or a set of shows, such contact with exhibitors is permissible, but you should be cognizant of how such contacts may be perceived by exhibitors.
So if I'm troubled, Will. Well, first of all, it's human behavior you're trying to deal with. You're trying to put everybody in the same box. And you're trying to say everyone's either a crook or not. I don't like that. I don't like people going around denigrating dogs. Nobody likes that at all, ever. But if a judge who I've known for 50 years calls me and says, I just did Irish Setters in California, there's a really beautiful dog out there, what am I going to say? Oh, stop talking. Stop talking.
Yeah, I don't want to know.
No. You can't talk to me about it. You know. Or if I call you, did the Irish Setter Nash, right? So I called you. How are the dogs? Well, oh, I'm not allowed to say. I can't. I'm not allowed to promote. Or come on.
Right. That takes away part of our character of why we do this. Really. Like we talk about dogs. That's why we enjoy being with each other. Not just you and me. The dog world. We enjoy like-minded people. We discuss those type of things.
Yeah.
I remember when Janie was judging up here, and they were trying. She was sitting there talking to me at ringside, and the head steward came over and told her she had to stop talking to me. And she said, "I've known this young man since he was 10 years old. I see him once a year. I'm going to talk to him."
You know, it's, you just can't make it so robotic. And by the way, who's the arbiter of such things? You know, where's the fine line between denigration and mentioning that you'd like to see a better front on them?
Right.
You know, where's the fine line between promoting them and saying, I really liked them on the day, I thought he was a real good one, or, you know, Joe Smith has a real good Newfoundlander. I mean, anything. Where's the fine line? Who's going to judge this stuff? I get the point. We're out of control with ripping each other's dogs apart on social media, whatever. If we're adults, I hope we can see through that.
Oh, exactly.
And if you're a good judge, you should see through it too.
I don't like how they it's almost like they brand us all crooks.
Yeah.
And let's face it, in the world, there's crooks and there's not crooks. And if someone's a crook, rules aren't going to stop them from being a crook. It doesn't matter. You know,
there's a rule against bank robbery. Happens exactly. All the time.
what does Steve Martin say about that? How does he get it? If two simple words in the English language, I forgot. Say you're up for bank robbery. You simply say to the judge, I forgot bank robbery was illegal. I was head of the Steve Martin fan club for my zone when I was a kid.
Oh man, nobody funnier.
Nobody. Oh my God, I couldn't take it. I had records. Remember who used to have comedy shows on record?
Oh, I had Steve Martin records. Yeah.
Oh, I love them.
You know, those characters of Steve Martin's world, the Lukes of the world, they bring color. They bring life and exuberance, and they give perspective, a wider scope of what we can enjoy and what we can see. And if people are offended by it, I get it. You know, I'm offended by stuff. You are too. But at the end of the day, we're human beings and we're passionate about this sport. So when someone says to me, what'd you think of that whatever hound you just gave the group to, I'm not going to say, good.
Right.
It's not going to happen. And if that's the only way you can get around not promoting or denigrating a dog, that's just too bad. But I, the sadder part is that I guess I see the intent is the AKC is saying, hey, come on, you know, it's getting out of control on the internet. I don't see judges doing a lot of that. I see exhibitors doing
fighting
that
amongst themselves. Yeah. Yeah.
By the way, they've been doing that since the sport started.
Oh, right. Right.
But now they're hanging out their
lawn. Signals, I hate your dog.
Right. Right. I mentioned, actually, this is relevant to you, young William.
I like when he calls me young William.
Willem the Conqueror, William. Young William. I ran into an exhibitor who, I mentioned it last week, who went to a couple dogs and he said nothing good to say about it. In fact, was angry that I liked them. Angry that I like them. I mean, infuriated. I've been breeding these dogs for 40 years now. Okay, you know, that's nice. Me too. But you know, at the end of the day, it's not going to change my view of those two dogs. She shredded them. I knew where I'd change them to. But it's not. You know, she was having a moment. It's okay. But it's not going to change my view of those dogs. And I'm almost certain that I didn't change her view of those dogs. Yeah, right. We discussed those dogs. And I don't know. It just seems like we get carried away with, you know, sequestering judges and you can't do this. You can talk to somebody on Wednesday, but not on Saturday. You know, it cruffs. The best in show judges, they're all week.
Right.
They sit in the group ring and they watch all the groups because they love the sport and it's cruffs and they want to see all the dogs. If you're suspected to be a crook, you probably won't get hired to do best in show at cruffs. And they handle it there.
Sure. I find on most part, the judges that are susceptible to those such things, they're usually so insecure about what they're judging or what their job is that they do take that stuff in.
Mm-hmm.
But like,
there's a lot of them.
Oh, for sure there are. And no one's going to tell you, you know, this pointer is no good. If you find if there's something in that pointer you like, and you're going to put it up no matter what somebody says.
It's not going to bother me a bit.
Exactly.
I've done it more than once. You know, that doesn't bother me in the least. Right. I mean, I know what I like, and that's all you're asking a few more is, you know, what's your opinion on the day? That's what you're paying the entry fee for, and that's the opinion we're giving you. You don't have to like it. There's a show tomorrow and the next day, and the next day, and the next day, and the next day. You know, so you just, you know, it's a sport. Get over yourselves.
And it's a very subjective sport. I had a listener call in to say, stop picking on figure skating, but it's canine figure skating.
It is. And we love figure skating.
I'm sorry, Pearl.
I actually do love it.
But it is canine figure skating.
Yeah, and I love figure skating.
No, me too. But it's a very subjective sport again.
It is. And it's so, you know, it's a real fine line between whether it's an art or a sport. It's a little of both, right? And there aren't rules in the art gallery. You know, you walk in there and go, I really don't like that Monet. Ah, that's against the rules. You can't say that in this museum. You can never talk about Monet's paintings. You'll come back. What? You know, like, by the way, I love all Monet's paintings. So if you don't like them, you're wrong. It's that simple. Water lilies and me, love it. Well, it happens all the time, you know, and we're humans and we're going to make mistakes. We're going to say things we shouldn't say, but darn it, we need more Lukes.
Oh, exactly.
We need more characters that bring color back.
He would say whatever and whenever. He did he had a huge support entry in, I think it was Frenchies in Kalamazoo one time, and he gave the dog I was showing the breed. And as he's walking to the table, he's arguing with these other exhibitors because they weren't listening. He's writing the numbers down, and he says, William, I'm going to swear because that would be okay. William, people don't listen. Well, that was just Luke, right? It was just Luke. You had to get used to it. And,
oh, man. Well,
he was one in a million. He really was.
But, you know, he and Ed could breed dogs and any breed.
Show dogs.
I mean, it's just, You don't have those. Well, we do. We do have younger people in that mold, but we certainly don't encourage it.
Well, my worry about those younger people in that mold is that they're going to be suppressed so much that they're not going to be that character when it's time to be right. that character. Yeah. Now they're not going to be allowed to express themselves that way because they're going to offend somebody. Yeah. You know.
Well, there is that truth, and social science will show you that in countries that were in a really, really tight ship, like Singapore, for example, where the young American did some vandalism and got caned. There was a big to-do in the government about, you know, you can't do that. And they're saying it's our culture. It's what we do. We don't understand your objection. And we're thinking, how could you possibly cane somebody? Well, those differences exist in those studies. Also show that the looser countries, and America were actually on the list of strict, is on the looser end, as is Canada, has more creativity. So countries that have real narrow do and don't have less creativity and invention and ingenuity as countries that are a little more loosely structured and more diverse and giving. And if you start doing that, taking that subculture and squashing it on the sport and make it tighter and tighter, you're going to lose that creativity. You're going to lose the encouraging people to be innovative,
right.
to express their art and to do things and say things that is them and not everybody else.
Can you imagine some of the characters that we've met throughout the years if they were suppressed? You know?
Man, I mean,
oh my gosh, we would have missed out on so many things.
Yeah, and they do. When I sit and think about my little list of them, they are among the most creative people we have.
Oh, it's no question. You know? Yeah. Think about Luke. Like I can see Luke being in the garden with the crown prince, but I can still see him up here showing the Borzoi. And you didn't even notice him out there. That's how good he was.
Yeah. Oh, yeah. That's
how good he was. He just stood back with those dogs. The dogs looked perfect. And you didn't even know Luke was standing there.
He was Sabella, another one. Frank, yeah. Who, you know, creative as possible. I mean, a real artist. Yeah. But, you know, not many people could tell him what to do. And, you know, that's the way it should be in to a degree. You know, you've got to have that. Anyway, anything else on that, Will, on the rules or anything else that, I cannot tell you I read them as carefully as a couple of them I read very carefully. And I thought, I'm not sure I want to read anymore.
Well, I just noticed it this when I was perusing the news on Facebook. I noticed I actually sent the gentleman a message to find out exactly what he was upset about. And he told me he just didn't like being branded a crook before right. he even walked in the ring, and right. That was his problem.
You know? And I guess, you know, in a nutshell, I can see their concern, absolutely, because there's too much going on in the Facebook stuff. But as far as people talking to each other, even if you can be overheard at a show, too bad.
Yeah, you're not going to stop it.
Yeah,
we're social creatures, and the sport, like I said, we want to spend time with like-minded people.
Right, and I have had the occasion where a judge tried to promote a dog to me, and I'll take a look at it, and I'll think, you got to be kidding, not for me. And I'll even tell them later, hey, glad you like them, not for me. And yeah, exactly. There's really no problem with that. But you know, it's going to happen, and you just if you've been in the sport for more than 5 minutes, and you actually know the breed you're judging, and have experience in them, and studied them, and learned them, and just didn't get them because you wanted to get the whole group, and you're secure enough, none of that will bother you.
It shouldn't bother you. Like I'm not going to say if I was a young aspiring judge and Mrs. Park walked over to me and said, you should take a look at that Whippet. I'm going to probably take a second look at that
Whippet.
You should
take a third look at that Whippet and a fourth too. You absolutely should. And what's wrong with that, by the way?
Exactly.
That's called learning.
That's right.
You know, and then you, knowing you would go back to Annie and you'd say, okay, this is what I saw. What do you think? And there would be a discussion afterwards, and it would be a learning process, not just a quick promote and run. You know, it'd never be that way with Annie or anybody that has that caliber of background and knowledge in the sport. You know, when someone that you don't respect is trying to promote a dog to you, that's just plain old funny.
Oh, exactly.
You just look like, oh, you're going to tell me about this breed? Yeah, go on. Go. Keep talking.
Really?
Yeah. So, yeah, we have to be humans, and we have to be colorful, and we have to have fun. And, yes, we have to have rules. So the intention applauded, the application and reality, not so much. And if anyone takes the interpretation that it's calling us pre-crooks, or crooks, you know, before we're, what is it? Guilty before proven innocent.
Right.
That's just the way it is. And we take those, it's because we're humans and we walk on.
And that's just perception again, that some people are going to perceive the rule that way. But then again, if you look back at their second part of the rule where they talk about how you will be perceived talking to these people, it's the same idea. Like the perception is everything, I suppose. But again, like you said, years ago, you'd look out and every judge would be sitting there watching everything, having fun, chatting to each. That's how we all learn. And it's how I enjoyed seeing those people watch all the groups. It made me try even harder, you know.
Oh yeah,
I remember one time I was showing a Ricky. Ricky was sitting at ringside. Oh, he was fabulous.
Another one. How creative can you be?
Oh my God!
How much ingenuity, right?
And I knew exactly. I knew his MO, because if you walked up to Rick and said, as he was not judging, like, even if he was showing, and said, "What do you think of this dog?" Every time, that's a great one, kid. That's a real good one, kid.
Yeah,
he would say that to almost every dog that someone showed him.
Mm-hmm.
But if he was sitting at ringside and said, "Bring that over here," that's when he liked it.
That's right. Yeah. And again, a colorful character who was often in trouble for saying things or doing things. Said,
walking through the grooming area and stopping, telling someone to take more hair off that dog.
Yep. But did he have passion?
Oh,
did he have
God.
Knowledge?
More passion. He was unbelievable.
Did he change the sport for the better? Yeah. Absolutely. Did he start little tricks and trades and cultures that improve the sport? Yes. You know, this is what we can't suppress. Yes, we need to have rules, but we need to let creative people be creative. And
I remember I was showing this Akita dog to him, and it was a quite nice dog, but it was a little dog. It wasn't a very big dog. And he was judging it, and he said, "How old is this dog, kid?" And I was like, "Oh, he's like 13 months, Rick.
He's young.
Nice try."
That's beautiful. Yeah, not allowed to say that, though. There's a rule about that.
Yeah.
Gee, you can't even, you know, people will say, a judge talks too much to the exhibitors. There's a good chance that he's known every exhibitor in that ring for 50 years.
Oh, exactly.
And they're probably talking about, you know, where they're going for vacation or something. I mean, you really think they're going over and going, "Hey, you know what? The dog behind you has a crooked left toenail. He should really be." It doesn't happen. It just doesn't happen.
And I love judges like that think on their feet. Like I remember we used to have this judge in Canada. He's still around. I don't think he's judging anymore. It's Archie Warnock. And, a handler accosted him one day and said, "You didn't do much for me this weekend." And Archie said, "Oh, really? Well, come with me." So and Archie put his briefcase on the green table, opened it up, brought out the rule book. He went through, he says, "Says nothing in here that I have to put you up."
That's beautiful. Yeah, I know. Sometimes you say, I never went into that person. Have you only shown one dog to me your entire life?
Exactly. I love it when people take judges. I'm never shown to that judge again. I love it when they say that.
I do too. Thank you. You're the last person I want in my ring. Thank you very much. I'll take a tiny entry this time. Very happy you took your six dogs home. Thrilled. You just go. Yeah, I don't need you. This is supposed to be creative people in a sport with passion and knowledge and respect for opinions. And that's all there is to it, Will.
There you go.
So I have a topic, though, I want to talk
about.
Okay,
go ahead. I'm sure I keep thinking of all these colorful people, and I love it.
Don't you love it?
Court, balls in your court. Go.
George Ward, how many more people? There are so many of those people. Anyway, we should come up with a whole show full of those, and we will. But, you know, we have an issue going on in the sport right now that I don't think people are talking about as collectively as I'm trying to think about it. And the more I think about it, the more I'm concerned about it. I mentioned last week about rental cars being hard to get. And, you know, the rental companies had to sell off their fleets to keep the cash flow going. No problem. They'd order them when things opened up, people started to travel again. Well, they tried to do that. There's no chips, so there are no cars being made. And that's pushed up the rental prices for cars. Well, you know, you make a flight reservation. By the way, I was reading up to do this research for the article I'm doing, and it's not unusual for a car a day in Hawaii to be $700 now.
Oh my God.
It used to be 300, you know, and now at the beginning of the pandemic end, or whatever that means, you know, but it's getting more and more and more, it's ratcheting up because there's more demand for travel. So supplies is the same or shrink, you know, it's still there, but demand is higher and higher because people are just dying to get out and travel. And if you, you take that to the airline flights, that I used to pay $300 for, now $600, and you do everything you can. You take the three-stop flight and all that. We talked about that. But it's not just airline prices and cars. It's availability for hotel rooms. They're short-staffed, so they can't have every room sold. And that's a little supply and demand going on. And just this week, USA Today had published a study about increases in hotel prices. It's not exorbitant like cars and flights, but it's there, 17%, and it adds up. So you think about this, and I'm thinking, okay, I'm thinking of this as a judge, right? Because as a judge, you fly, you rent a car, you rent a hotel room. And you try to share those things with other judges and friends, and you'll do what you can to save the club money. And that's a more concerted effort now than ever. It's working well where it can. But so you might think as an exhibitor, well, I drive my van or my RV or my trailer. I sleep on the grounds and I have a hotel room. I don't have to rent a car. I'm not going to fly there. How can this possibly affect me? You'll see, because clubs have to pay judges' expenses. And when they're twice what they were or three times as they were just before the pandemic started, and they're running on the same margins, guess what's going to go next? Entry fees have to.
Entry fees, camping fees, everything are going to go up to make up for all these things.
The hot dog stand, Everything is going to have to increase. And that's what clubs should do. They need to do this to keep their clubs afloat. You can only try so hard to shrink back these things when you can. And most clubs do an excellent job of it. But, and here's the fear with that then, Will. So, okay, the entry fee prices go up a little bit. And we talked about this a little bit last week. But to bring it further, the more I think about this, so the prices go up. Handlers don't mind as much because their clients are willing to absorb it typically. And the clients are paying their expenses.
That's right.
So, you know, by the way, that was not the way when we worked for Bob and Jane. Your own expenses.
Really?
We didn't charge separately for expenses. No. That was a
wow. Can you imagine Janie today? Oh my God.
Oh, there are things that got charged, but it wasn't like they do now, whack up all the expenses by 60 dogs and you all pay it, whatever. I can't even. We just charged more back then, I guess, relative to the economy. Anyway, what I'm saying is
why she stole the soap.
Yeah. Toilet paper is a big thing. But, you know, what's going to happen is we're then going to make the sport squeeze towards the handlers who can afford it because of their clients, the entry fees. But the single exhibitor or hobbyist who likes to go out and show their dog in their van, they're going to start getting hit a little harder. And when you go to 10, now we have 10 show circuits. If you're starting to come up, you need $300 in entry fees. It's going to be a little different. And I'm concerned that we're not doing enough pre-planning on this and pre-forecasting of budgets. And the AKC should be sitting down with the clubs. What can we do for you? Because it's going to affect everyone if the single and two dog exhibitor can't afford the sport anymore because of the entry fees, which understandably have to go up to pay for expenses. This is an economy we've never, ever seen anything the likes of. And we're still learning. There's still repercussions. And by the way, for exhibitors that have RVs, and that's more and more and more, you can't find those either. And if yours breaks, need to buy a new one, good luck. No more 25% off sticker when you're buying RVs. In a lot of places, they're asking for sticker price. Supply, demand.
Exactly.
Same thing. Same. They have tips also.
You're paying maintenance fees. It's,
you know, well, trying to get your RV fixed.
Oh, I know.
You know, everybody in the world bought an RV during the pandemic because they didn't want to fly or stay in hotels. Well, they all need them fixed. And the staff is the same. It always has been. They're not going to spike up their hire a whole new service crew for a year until it settles down, or do they? So, you know, you call for an appointment and, well, we can fix the stairs from going out because that hurts, but all the other stuff you're going to have to wait for. You know, it's just, this economy affects not just the handlers, not just the clubs, not just the exhibitors. Everything that touches the sport is being affected by this. And we need to plan ahead, because now that shows are ramping up, we're on this little downhill glide where the entries are, well, they were growing, now they're shrinking again. But it's going to hit its little bubble too.
Well, they're shrinking again, I think, because what's happening even here is, again, too many shows.
Yeah, yeah. Too many back to it, Will.
Too many choices, yes. Like our numbers up here aren't anywhere near what shows are down there. Like a pretty good show up here right now is 300 to 400 dogs, you know.
Yeah.
And we're not reaching that in Ontario right now out west, because they have one show every, if they have a show a week, they only have one show. There's no places to go. So they're reaching 400 or 500 dogs. Here, we just got off I think we're still in the middle of a 10-day circle that I didn't go to. They were like 90 dogs, Wayne.
Whoa.
90 dogs in the dog show. And I know I'm probably, when I got down to the final seven dogs, they're probably seven good dogs. But 90 dogs, that's a lot to, you know, it's a lot of work and a lot of fees for 90 dogs. When I'm making all my invoices, I don't go, there's only 90 dogs at that show, so I'm not going to, I still charge the same.
Exactly, yeah. Yeah, it's, you know, we're seeing shows down here again, you know, 600, 700.
Well, there's more than that. I know. I was.
Oh, 400. Yeah, we're having the 400 dog shows in America. Yeah. That's never had, just doesn't happen. And it went away and it came roaring right back.
Because when you guys had those big shows that, because everybody came, because it was the only game in town. Now they're starting to weed out again, and they're just watering down the sport on us again. And that's what's going to happen.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. I really think that there needs to be some sort of more scientific and business-based thought process going into the future of the finances of the sport.
Mm-hmm.
Not who can make the most money, who can be the greediest, or who can bang the hardest gavel on the table and say, my way. It needs to be collective. And we need to start thinking about, if we're going to keep this vibrant, you're going to have to hurt somebody's feelings, but you can't have a 300 dog show anymore. If you do, you can't have 10 in a row, or maybe, I don't have the answer. I don't pretend to. But someone that knows about those forecasting bits and algorithms should really start working on that, because we're going to be in the same boat.
Well, you guys already have you guys, America still has, they've started the two shows a day now too. We started that back, I don't know, it was brought into the CKC for remote areas. Like, mm-hmm. I remember the first one I remember was at Thompson, Manitoba. That was a very remote show. And they didn't get a big entry. They don't have a big dog population up there. So the CKC brought in these two shows a day. And mm-hmm. that was, so they had doubled the entries for the day. And
sure.
And, but they made it, back then they made it for remote shows. Well, then as entries went down because of too many dog shows, clubs that are now from Toronto are starting to have two a days,
mm-hmm.
which is just unbelievable. And I think the handlers all love it, but people, not necessarily, people say, oh, the handlers love it because they can charge twice. We don't like our dogs doing that all day long. You know, our dogs being shown twice and being worn out, and people say, oh yeah, they like, I never liked it. I hardly went to them. And I wrote this big article years ago about that, about the Ontario show scene, and they called it "The Doomsday Clock is Ticking for Ontario Dog Shows."
Mm.
Started off two shows a day, hose me down, keep me going. But it's true. It's they did water down our sport up here, the two a days. And when they started letting clubs that weren't remote have these two a days, I think it was really hard on the kennel clubs and the dogs. We ended up having some champion only dog shows where there were just no class dogs, because class dogs had to they had to beat the champions getting points because there was nobody showing up.
Yeah.
And it wasn't happening enough.
Well, I wonder if that could happen if the regular, the normal hobbyist exhibitor, serious hobbyist exhibitor, obviously, that shows them, you know, shows their own dogs. If they get to the point where there's so many handlers, because those fees can be covered by the clients and the owner handler can't afford it. Does the same thing happen here? Do we have, you know, 0-1-14 entries?
Oh.
You know, no dogs, one bitch and 14 specials. That could happen too.
Oh, for sure.
There's a lot of things, you know, we need some futurist thinking on this. We need some Malcolm Gladwells. We need some people who think,
Malcolm Fellows.
Well, there's another one. Malcolm Gladwell. He's an author. He writes books. He probably wrote books. I'll send you all my philosophy books. You really like them. Philosophy is very easy to understand. It's not some, you'll love Kant. He's great.
All right.
There's many others. Anyway, those things and more are on my mind and concerning me. But at the end of the day, Will, we love our dogs. We love our sport, and we like discussing them, the good, the bad.
And the ugly.
Thank you, William. All right.
Do you remember Max Magder?
Oh, absolutely.
Max was hilarious. I remember him judging, and it was three of us that he knew were judging. He said, take them around. He put them in order, and he went to place, and he went, ugly, uglier. But he knew that we could take it.
Yeah.
He would never.
That's beautiful. Yeah. But boy, you don't want to do that. There's a rule for that.
Oh my God, you couldn't do that, could you?
You'll get a letter. You'll get a letter. There was, I was talking to a judge who was being observed, and one of the comments was he talked too much to the exhibitors. And my guess was he was a little nervous. They were a little nervous. It was just exchanging pleasantries. I heard it. It was a nice day. The weather's sunny. It was nothing to do about dogs, you know. And there was nothing wrong with settling yourself and a class like that. There's nothing.
And I like it. Like I watched Bill Shelton judge somewhere, and I was watching every exhibitor leave the ring, and they're always happy and smiling, even the ones that weren't winning. And I asked him, he's very friendly to them all.
Yeah.
And it's because he always says something nice about their dog when he's going over. Yeah. He always says something positive. He just keeps it positive. And I never saw one disgruntled or irate exhibitor leave his ring that day.
Yeah.
Because
he's promoting those dogs, Will. He was promoting them.
Yeah.
He said good things about him. He was, you know, oh my goodness, what kind of world do we live in? I'm glad I'm getting a little bit older. Although I do, after having this shattered windshield on the car with the cameras and the facial recognition and the glass, I'm looking for a 79 Ford pickup with roll-up windows and AM FB radio. That's AM full blast, not AM FM. Just turn it up until you can't hear it. It's all fuzzy. I miss those days.
I don't know. Dad used to call those arms. Oh, we have Armstrong windows.
Hey, they come in handy.
Oh, exactly.
In fact, some car manufacturers are talking about making cars, but just not having those options in them until they get the chips and they'll retrofit it. Well, I don't think so, but there you have it. I would say that Killian, who was at Lovely Camp Critter Country, he's telling me that whatever he ate there makes him, well, he's a little gassy right now.
Is he?
The paint,
it'll pass. Killing
off the walls. The paint is coming right off the walls.
It'll pass, Wayne.
It'll pass. Yeah, thanks. All right. We always have to. Do we have to wrap up on a fart joke? Well, God, it's terrible.
Oh.
Anyway, so any higher level things?
I love fart jokes. I know you.
And what 9-year-old doesn't
love philosophy? I'm going to talk about fart jokes.
That's right. Anyway, hey, we do have some exciting things coming up that we can't quite share with you yet, but things are going well, and we've been really enjoying the feedback from listeners. So keep it coming. And by the way, I never say this. You say it on your, you know, when you talk to the people, what do you call it, interviews thing? You always say, go to the. You can give me a stars. What are you asking there for, Will?
Oh, I tell them to like, share, and subscribe.
Yeah. That's right. And you can do that with podcasts, Will.
Can you?
Yeah, you can.
That's how much I know. Frozen.
We only have one. We don't know about them. But you can go to our podcast. I know because I made my son do it. No, I didn't. I just, somebody put a 5-star review on our podcast. And it would be nice because really it gets more listeners, which helps us do more things and cover more topics and get more responses. So we appreciate that. If you subscribe and rate it, you know, if there's 5 stars, color another one right on the screen, put a 6th one, just take a crayon, put it right there on your screen. They'll know. Anyway. All right, William, take us out, buddy.
All right, Wayne. Party on, Wayne.
Party on, Garth.
Drive safe, everybody.
Keep it between the navigational beacons.
Party on, Garth.
I'm born no run, way. Down rocky cliffs. Give me grace. Bury my sins. Shattered glass.
Ernie, and use this in the blooper reel.
That's right. You love me, Ernie. From where I need to go.
Taking yourself damn seriously.
Don't hold back. Oh, I won't hold back.